It's 5:06. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Veronica Rickard.
And I'm Rob Farah. It's coming up, we'll talk to a defense reporter about the tentative deal Congress has reached to reform veterans' health care in the United States.
First, a new report out takes a look at the well-being of children in Wisconsin and across the nation.
The report came out last week. It's an annual report, and 2014 marks its 25th anniversary. It gives researchers the opportunity to look at how far we've come, what could still use improvement. They found that in the last 25 years, Wisconsin kids have made strides in areas like health and education, but are worse off economically.
Joining us now in the studio to talk about the report and its implications is Ken Taylor, Executive Director of the Wisconsin Council on Children and Families. Ken, welcome to Central Time.
Thanks for having me, Veronica.
So Wisconsin currently ranks 13th among the states in child well-being. How exactly did that figure get arrived at, that ranking?
Well, that ranking comes from a combination of 16 different data points that the Annie E. Casey Foundation puts together and has been putting together, as you said, for 25 years. And so we look at information in four different categories: in economic well-being, in education, in health, and in family and community, and combine them together to come up with the ranking, which, as you said, is 13th this year.
And how has Wisconsin changed over time? Where were we last year?
Well, this is one step down from last year. We were ranked 12th last year. But for me, the individual ranking, whether it's 12th or 13th, is less important than what tier we're in. So if we're ranked 13th or 12th, we're still in the top tier compared to other states that are in the bottom tier. That said, we are in the bottom of the top tier, and we have neighbors who have higher well-being scores than we do, and so we know that we have some distance to travel.
Well, there's a lot of good news there, still in the top tier there. But let's start with that. What is Wisconsin doing right?
Well, one of the things that we've done right historically is that we've made pretty substantial investments in our kids. So we invest in education. We invest in early education. We invest in healthcare. And so those sorts of things have positive long-term impacts on the well-being of kids. One of the concerns that we have at the Wisconsin Council on Children and Families is, are we continuing to invest in kids the way we have in the past? And we're concerned that we're not doing that sufficiently. And so in subsequent years, that we might drop down in the rankings.
So in terms of the gains that have been made in education and health, what are the markers that you're looking at?
Well, we look at things like third grade reading and eighth grade math and high school graduation. And we find in those statistics that we're getting better. But it's also true that we still have some challenges there. So we know, for example, that nearly two-thirds of our third graders aren't reading proficiently at fourth grade. So that's a challenge, even though we're doing better over time and better than the rest in the nation. The other thing that a lot of your listeners who are from the Dane County area will have been hearing about is high school graduation and differential rates by race on high school graduation. So while overall we do really well nationally when it comes to high school graduation, in fact, our white kids here have the highest graduation rate in the nation. It's also true that statewide, African-American kids, only two-thirds of them graduate, and here in Madison, only half of them graduate on time. So there's some real differences within these numbers.
Now, how does that place us among our peers, the rates of African-American graduation?
Well, unfortunately, it places us at the bottom. So there was another report that the Casey Foundation put out a few months ago that looked in a similar way across the nation, but broke it out by race. And unfortunately, the well-being of Wisconsin's African-American kids was ranked dead last in the nation. So of the 46 states that they had enough numbers to rank, we were last. And so usually we look to other places to be last, and we're happy when we do well, but we have to confront that, the fact that we do well on average, but we leave behind big segments of our population.
So that's clearly room for improvement there. Do you have areas that you'd like us to target, initiatives that you think that Wisconsin should be pursuing?
Yes, we think that we should take a two-generation approach. So The solutions that we need have to be broad and comprehensive. They need to focus on kids, particularly investing in the early years where we know that there's a huge return on that investment. People at the Federal Reserve say that that beats the stock market, that 10% return on investment for high quality early care and education. We have to continue to invest in education, but also we need to have more family supporting jobs for parents. So it needs to be two generations, the parents and the kids.
Okay, so there you're getting into the area of poverty. How do Wisconsin kids, how are they affected by poverty here in the state?
Well, there's some good news and bad news when it comes to poverty. The good news is that we're lower than the national average when it comes to children's poverty. The bad news is that we're catching up to that national average very quickly. And also, not surprisingly from what I just said about some of the education challenges, poverty isn't evenly shared across our state. So while the child poverty rate for white kids in our state is 5%, for African-American kids, it's nearly 50%. And so that's another challenge that communities of color face. So we have some work to do when it comes to the poverty measures. And also when you look at concentrated poverty, and so children living in high poverty areas, that's also increasing in our state. So we need to attack that.
So what markers are you looking at when you look at economic well-being?
So we look at the child poverty rate. We look at employment rates. We look at children living in households with a high burden for their housing, and also teens not in school and not working, so sort of disconnected from systems. And so three of those four worsened over the most recent period. The only one that improved slightly was the one around children living in high households with high cost burdens for housing. And just for context, when we're talking about the number of children in poverty, we're talking nearly 250,000 Wisconsin children living in poverty.
What are the long-term challenges? What do you see when kids get their start in life in poverty? What happens to their outcomes later on?
Well, I think one of the things that we find is that the stress level in those households are higher. We can all imagine how that could be when parents are working two jobs, when they don't know if there's going to be enough food on the table. That then translates into educational challenges for kids. Now, it is also true that many kids in impoverished households do really well. And so it's not to say that that can't happen, but the odds are stacked against children when they have the sorts of stresses that living in high poverty households or high poverty neighborhoods creates. And then that has a impact on health. It then affects education, which then affects the next generation of families.
So you mentioned having a greater abundance of jobs that can support families. Are there other things that you're looking at to improve poverty levels?
Well, as I said earlier, the two-generation approach and actually thinking about high-quality early care and education and K-12 and post-secondary education is a really important aspect of poverty reduction. Another thing to think about is not just having more jobs, but having better access to jobs. And so, we hear about how there's sometimes a gap between the skills that employers are looking for and the skills that workers have. And that's an education issue. And so if we want to look towards the future and the next generation, we need to close those education gaps so that employers have the type of employees that they need in the knowledge economy that we're going to see today and in the future.
We're talking right now with Ken Taylor from the Wisconsin Council on Children and Families about the well-being of children here in the state. And you can join the conversation at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. We're talking about the well-being of Wisconsin children. A new report ranks Wisconsin 13th among the states in child well-being and finds that in the last 25 years, our kids have made great strides in the area of health and education, but are much worse off economically.
You can join the conversation with your questions and your comments at 800-642-1234. Is there something going on in your part of the state that you think is particularly good or bad for kids' well-being in areas like health, education, and the economy? 800-642-1234 is the number to call or email talk@WPR.org. We have Ken Taylor with us. He's executive director of the Wisconsin Council on Children and Families.
And Ken, Wisconsin has made steady gains in the area of health. We've talked a bit about that. But can you tell us a little bit about, for instance, how many children are insured, how we've seen that trend move along?
Well, the news on insurance has been quite good. And we have been a top-tier state when it comes to the number of children that we have with health insurance. I would say that having health insurance is an important first step, but just the first step, because then once you have insurance, you need to have actual access to care, and just having insurance doesn't necessarily provide that. And then that care needs to be high-quality care. But that being said, having health insurance is an incredibly important first step, and we have been a top-tier state over the past few years. We've actually been sliding back in the rankings, not because we've been getting worse, but because other states have been getting better. So we're basically holding steady while other states are passing us by and getting more and more of their kids insured.
Now, did the Affordable Care Act come into play in the results this year, or is this something you expect to see more of next year in the results?
Well, it is starting to come to play. So the Affordable Care Act, as many of your listeners will know, is a big health care reform, and different states have made different choices in how they're using the Affordable Care Act in their states. And so our state chose not to use the Affordable Care Act to provide additional coverage for low-income residents. And so the states who have are starting to see their insurance or uninsured rates go down, whereas ours are basically holding steady, which is why folks are passing us by. When it comes to kids, there's been a different dynamic at play here, which is a little more complex when it comes to what's happening with adults.
So you'll probably have a fuller picture of what's happening there next year.
Right. And over time, with the Affordable Care Act and all of the challenges that that's presenting, both legally and all sorts of other ways, the long-term implications will take a little time to shake out, and so that we can have a better picture of what it means over time.
Now, you said Wisconsin is in the top tier. You say at the sort of the lower edge of the top tier. But are there emerging trends here about where children do especially well and where they do less well?
Right. So when you look at the map that the Casey Foundation puts out, we see that there's concentrations within the map of where children generally do better and where the well-being is generally worse. And so we find that the concentrations of places where they generally do better are in the upper Midwest and in the New England states. And then where they generally do worse is in the southern states, from South Carolina across to New Mexico, the whole southern tier of our country.
And why is that? What do you think is going on?
I think it's a complex question, but for me, the simplest answer is that the upper Midwest and New England states invest more in their kids. So when you look at education and health care, for example, the upper Midwest invests more. So, for example, we have some neighbors who are higher ranked than we are. So Iowa this year was ranked number 3, and Minnesota was ranked number 5. And so while I'm proud of our 13th ranking, I would like us to be closer to our neighbors to the west. And when we look at why that might be, you know, one of the things that we look at is education and education spending. And we see that in Wisconsin over the last 5 years, we've had a 15% cut in education. And over the same period, Minnesota has had a slight increase, 0.3%. And Iowa has had over an 11% increase in education spending you know, during this tough economic time. And so that's an example of, you know, there isn't a direct causation.
Mm-hmm. But you put it down to investment in children.
Investment. And I think there's a correlation between the level of investment and how well kids do.
We've got a caller now. Let's go to Bonnie joining us in Rice Lake. Hi, Bonnie.
Hi there. Thanks for taking my call. I live in Rice Lake, but I work in a small rural school district that's south of Rice Lake. And I'm wondering if you look at the increase, at least what we're seeing is increase, of homelessness among children.
Okay, good question, Bonnie. How did homeless children factor into this?
Well, unfortunately, we don't have data for homeless children in this particular report, but I would say that it's
they're not included among the poverty numbers.
Well, they're certainly within the poverty mm-hmm. numbers, but we don't have a particular data point about homeless children
versus.
And the increases. But it's very logical and unfortunate that when you see poverty increasing, that you would see homelessness increasing as well. And as you're saying, Bonnie, the educational impacts of homelessness. I was talking earlier about high stress environments and the impacts that has on kids living in impoverished families. Well, homelessness brings that up to a whole nother level. And so, you know, you could probably tell me more about the implications of that, Bonnie, but the difficulty of focusing on your studies when you're not clear where you're going to sleep that night, I think should be apparent to everyone.
Well, thank you so much for that call, Bonnie. And we have an open line if you'd like to call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. And we want to talk here about a little more on health. One area of concern is the number of low birth weight babies. You've been talking about a lot of areas of improvement, but this is one that has cropped up this time. What are we seeing in terms
right.
of low birth weight babies?
Yeah, so most of the health indicators are staying steady or getting better, and this one is getting worse. It's only slightly worse, but the fact that in the rest of the nation this is getting better, and for us it's getting slightly worse, is troubling. And again, I think a lot of that has to do with the challenges that families face and the stress that they're under and the implications that has for, you know, pregnancy and then the delivery of their children. And so for me that links back to poverty, and that the people that work in the healthcare world would talk about the social determinants of health. And so, you know, it's not just about the quality of the healthcare and your relationship with your doctor. It's all the things that surround that have to do with stress, have to do with how you eat, has to do with how well you're sleeping, and all those sorts of things that impact health, and that all gets passed on to the babies.
So it's a package of factors that are reflected in this one data point.
Right. And so, you know, as I said, the data isn't getting much worse. And so I don't want to draw too big a conclusion from a slight downturn. But the fact is that in the rest of the country, it's getting better. And so that is cause for concern. Right.
All right. Well, let's see if we can get one more call in. Julian joins us right now in Milwaukee. Hi, Julian.
Hi. Thank you for taking the call. I was just curious, is this just pure averages where we can be dead last for African-Americans in the country and still end up 13th? Is there some other division besides race? Is it the same economic factors between white and blacks in the same classes, or are they still overperforming and blacks underperforming?
That's a great question, Julian. And a lot of it has to do with the relative size of the population. So, you know, in our state, we're roughly 85% white. And so when you look on average of when the well-being of whites all over the country, you know, out is better than communities of color, when the percentages are so low relative to the rest of the country, you know, this is a nation that's getting more and more diverse. And for the first time in 2012, there were fewer white babies born than non-white babies, but in Wisconsin, we're behind that demographic trend. So most of the numbers are based on the averages, and so, you know, we have a relatively small African American population, and so we do quite well on average. But within that African American population, there are big challenges that we need to address.
And we'll leave it there. Ken, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for inviting me on.
Ken Taylor is the executive director of the Wisconsin Council on Children and Families.